And how do you do, everybody? Welcome to the Hour of Decision Online. And this is Cliff Barrow speaking to you with my co-host, Bob Sauer. And Bob, we're glad to be together today, and we've got an exciting program.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Cliff. We sure do. On this edition of Hour of Decision Online, Billy Graham teaches on heaven and hell. Both are real, and you'll live forever in one of them. The choice is yours, so why not choose heaven?
So much could be said about this. I could talk all evening about heaven and about the joys and the thrill and the excitement it's going to be in heaven for all of us who know Christ.
Right after Billy Graham challenges you to secure your place in heaven, his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, will challenge you to keep God first in your life.
There seem to be few Christians who want what God wants more than what they want.
Stay tuned for the rest of Ann's teaching following her dad's message. The title of that message is Living on Death Row, and it comes from the 1985 South Florida Billy Graham Crusade held in Fort Lauderdale. Tell us about this outreach, Cliff.
It was a wonderful time, and we had the Hurricane Center man, Neil Frank, give a testimony. And a dear friend, a member of our team for many years, Larnell Harris, sings His Grace is Greater Than Our Sin. And he begins now, so let's listen with Larnell.
His grace is greater than our failures, and His peace runs deeper than our fears. And if we go to Him for mercy, our hearts can rest assured. Our lives are safely in His hands. He'll give us strength to simply trust Him. Yes, our lives are safely in His hands. And though countless souls have come to Him so desperate and lost, with faith no with
Wonderful music from Larnell Harris. Well, let's listen now to Billy Graham's message, Living on Death Row, from his 1985 crusade in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, here on Hour of Decision Online.
I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And at the end of that chapter, it says this, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned everyone to keep the way of the tree of life." In other words, God was keeping man away from the tree of life, because if man had eaten the tree of life, he would have lived forever in his sins without any hope of redemption. Suppose, for example, that a man like Hitler came along and ate of the tree of life and lived forever, and we would have Hitler for thousands of years and many more Hitlers, and they would control the earth. And so God sent death along as a judgment, but also a blessing, because every generation comes and dies and a new generation is born. And all the Hitlers of the world die eventually. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. And I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to die? Have you made any preparation at all for your death? Oh, yes, maybe financially you have. But what about your spirit, your soul that's going to live forever? Have you made a study of it? Oh, it occupies a lot of your thinking. I know that. My son-in-law is a psychologist here, and he's told me a little bit about this. How many people are preoccupied with the fact that they have to die, and some go out and live it up and say, I'm going to get the last ounce of pleasure I can before that day. And others take it very seriously, and they prepare their hearts to meet Almighty God, whom they shall have to face with their sins and their failures at the judgment. Death is tragic because of its finality. I remember when one of my great friends died. And I remember going into the home before I was to preach the funeral sermon, and the wife said, you know, I never realized until this day the finality of death. And they had been missionaries to South America, and he was a great college president in this country. And she said, the finality of it, that I'll never see him again till I get to eternity. He'll never come in as I've seen him day after day in our long married life. Death ushers in so much uncertainty, and we ask ourselves, why? Part of it is the terror and the fear of the unknown. People never like to be unprepared. They're anxious about the future. Now, we want to soften the reality of death. We don't want to talk about it. Some of us don't want to think about it. So we have a lot of cosmetics and facelifts, and the frantic search for the mythical fountain of youth that goes on. But I don't want to turn tonight to the psychologist or the sociologist or the medical students, but to the Bible. What does the Bible say about death? First, the Bible says that death is an enemy of man and God. Paul calls it an enemy. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, it's an enemy to God because God never meant for man to die. When he created us, he meant for us to live forever. But we broke his law. We rebelled against him. And he said, if you do that, you're going to die. He had to keep his word. Neither sin, nor pain, nor disease, nor death were part of God's original plan for man. Death was the penalty for sin. And then secondly, the Bible teaches that this enemy of death is going to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. When we were touring Russia this past year, and we went to these great Orthodox cathedrals, and it was my privilege to preach in them the gospel just like I do here, and I had a theologian from the Theological Academy in Leningrad say to me in the car as we were riding along, he said, "Mr. Graham," he said, "I would like to see you put more emphasis on the resurrection of Christ, because," he said, "if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain." And I thought to myself, here I am learning at the feet of a man in the Soviet Union about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, the Bible teaches that this enemy of death has already been defeated. Already defeated. Paul says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" By death and resurrection of Christ, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." Think of it. He has the keys of hell and the keys of death. Now, what is this defeat of death? Paul likens it to a poisonous insect whose sting has been withdrawn. And the judgment is not going to be to decide whether you're saved or lost. The judgment is going to be to decide your place in hell, because the decision is being made by you here and now in this life. And you cannot read the Bible and miss the references to hell. And I don't see how a clergyman can preach without talking about it, because it's so much in the Scriptures. And the one that taught so much about it is Jesus, more than any other person in the Bible. To be in hell is to be out of the presence of God. What is hell? I'm not going to give you my imagination. I'm not going to do what some have done in the past and use their imagination to frighten people. We ought to be frightened. But I want to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. There are three words that describe hell in the Bible for me. One is fire. "For our God is a consuming fire," says Hebrews 12. But the Bible also teaches that fire is used symbolically. It says our tongues are set on fire of hell. That doesn't mean literal combustion in James. It's symbolic. And Jesus used this symbol over and over. I believe that the fire is a thirst for Almighty God that can never be quenched. You'll go out into eternity thirsting for God, and you can never find Him. And you can never find the fulfillment that you missed in this life. And then secondly, the word darkness. The Bible says God is light. And Matthew 8:12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." Hell is called outer darkness. It's separation from God in darkness. That's the reason those that go to hell will not see anybody else. It'll be too dark. You're not going to go down there and set up a nightclub and have a big time and have beautiful golf courses and all the rest of it, as some people think. No. It's separation from God, from light. And then the third phrase that Jesus uses is the second death. God is life. It is separated from life. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14 says. You die the first time naturally. Your body dies. Now your soul, your spirit, is still alive, but it's dead. It's dead toward God, just like it is tonight. There are thousands of people here in this audience in South Florida tonight whose spirit is dead toward God. Your body is alive. You go to church. You're religious, as most people are around the world. You go to India and you'll find more religion than any country in the world. But deep in your heart, you don't really know Christ. You haven't made your peace with God.
You can make your peace with God right now by beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to the top of this page and click on Grow Your Faith, or call us. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. This is Hour of Decision Online. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Billy Graham is teaching us that you don't need to fear death if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, listen to the story of a man who discovered you don't need to fear life, even life without arms or legs, when Jesus lives in your heart. Here's Mike McLean with more.
He's Nick Vujicic, and though he was indeed born without arms or legs, this is his attitude toward being, quote, disabled.
We are all disabled, but when we go by faith, you put a G-O in front of the word disabled, and it spells God is abled.
God has enabled Nick to build an international ministry called Life Without Limbs.
By the grace of God, we've been in 54 countries, spoken 2,600 times to 5.5 million people face-to-face.
In just the past year,
12 countries agreed to, on a mainstream TV, live broadcast my testimony of how Jesus changed my life to the entire country. So by the grace of God last year, 400 million people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask for God to just be with us wherever we go and just trying to be a good steward of using technology.
Nick's parents made sure that as a child, he came to know that his life belonged to and would be enriched by Jesus Christ.
I went to church every Sunday, and I learned about Jesus every day, whether it was a verse for the day or whether it was just encouragement. We're just so thankful because we had no idea that God would use me to be his hands and feet without arms and legs. And that's just God who can exceedingly abundantly do more than we can ever ask, imagine, or attain.
There were times of discouragement when Nick was young.
I said, God, if you could give me arms and legs miraculously, Lord, here I am, use me. Out of great intentions, I prayed for a miracle and got discouraged when a miracle didn't come. Now, today I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case he says yes.
That kind of insight and hope is a reflection of his seeing what God had in store for him and indeed for anyone.
More than arms and legs, I want peace. More than arms and legs, I want purpose. More than arms and legs, I want eternal life. And more than arms and legs, I want you, Jesus.
Nick's a motivational speaker who's welcomed into public schools and other places. His YouTube videos have millions of views. Wherever his message is being heard, it's always the same.
I just want you to know that it's not about Nick. It's not about me being any hope. It's about Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Nick and his wife are the proud parents of a little boy who celebrated his first birthday earlier this year. For Hour of Decision Online, I'm Mike McLean.
The title of the message you're listening to on this edition of Hour of Decision Online is Living on Death Row. Billy Graham is explaining that after you die, your soul continues to live forever, either in heaven with Jesus or in hell, separated from God.
Now, God doesn't take any delight in hell. He didn't create hell for you. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you persist in going the devil's way, that's where you're going. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was a judgment. God judged Christ in your place. And Jesus, being who he was, had the capacity to endure hell for you. And when Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, in a way that we cannot possibly fathom or understand, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father were separated, and Jesus took the pangs of hell, and he suffered in that moment everything that man will ever be called upon to suffer. He did it for you because he loves you. And now God says you must repent of your sins and receive him into your heart. And if you don't do it, and you persist in listening to the voice of the devil who says you have plenty of time, or who tells you that it's not true, or whatever he's whispering to you, yes, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice between some things that are wrong in your life, and you have to make a choice with Christ. Which will it be? What is your choice? The death of Christ was a judgment. And the scripture says that God's desire is that all men should be saved. All women should be saved. That's God's desire. He wants it so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. It's not God's will or purpose that you die. It's his desire that you be saved. And you have a choice. Now, what about what happens to the believer? So much could be said about this. I could talk all evening about heaven and about the joys and the thrill and the excitement it's going to be in heaven for all of us who know Christ. In Christ, the judgment is past. The storm is over. The hell is past. If you know Christ, there'll be no judgment for you. There is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no hell for you. You will live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the saints of all the ages. By his death, he destroyed death. In Christ, we no longer regard death as the king of terrors. Paul said, I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, to be with Christ is better than living here and now. I want to be with him, said the Apostle Paul. Why? Was it because he worked so hard for Christ? Or because he'd suffered so much? No. He was ready because long ago he had met Christ on the Damascus Road and had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ came into his heart. And he had found a fulfillment and a peace and a joy. He found the purpose and the meaning of his life when he had that encounter with Christ. Now, the conquest of death is the final great achievement of what we call Christianity. Physical death is but a transition from life on earth with Christ to eternal life in heaven with Christ. It's like going through a door when you die. You leave one room and you enter another, bigger room, which is more beautiful and more wonderful. And the transition, which we call death, is based on the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion over him, says Romans 6. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. For Christians, there is such a thing maybe as the shadow of death. It casts a shadow over those who are left behind. You're not going to die alone if you know Christ. I believe, as I said in a book that I wrote on angels, that there is a death angel. And that angel comes and takes you by the hand and leads you into the presence of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to die as a believer. I've seen believers die, and I've seen those that did not know Christ die. And there's a vast difference in the way they die. Today, people are so sedated, we don't have their final words as we used to have. But I have many memories of people dying, talking about the music that they hear, talking about who they see. My own mother was one. She seemed as though she could hear and see into the future. Jesus said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? He meant that you'll never die spiritually. An atheist only sees a hopeless end to life, but the Christian sees an endless hope. We look beyond our present sorrow to the triumph of Christ. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. There's an old English prayer that says, Lord, grant that my last hour may be my finest hour. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. An Anglican bishop of the last century said, I hope when I come to die, I shall not have to say, I wish I had loved Christ more. I'm going to ask you tonight to make sure that you're ready. What do you have to do? Father, mother, senior citizen, boy or girl, we never know in this world in which we live when anyone is going to go. You get out on these highways and streets and you never know. Are you ready? What do I have to do to be ready? First, the Bible teaches you must repent of your sins. And you say, well, what is repentance? Repentance is changing your mind toward God and toward yourself, seeing yourself a sinner and seeing the holiness and the righteousness of God, looking at the cross of Christ and seeing that he died for you. But it also means a change of living. You're going to change your habits from this moment on. You're going to ask God to help you. You may not be able to. You may not have the strength to. But if you'll ask God to help you, he'll help you.
And then the second thing you must do is to believe. That word believe means more than just believing with your mind. It means committing yourself, your total self to Christ as Savior and Lord. And then the third thing, you must be willing to follow Him and serve Him. Are you willing to do that? You say, Billy, I decided that years ago. Did you really? Is there a doubt about it? Many older people have been religious, and younger people too, because I was young when I accepted Christ, 16 or 17 years of age, and vice president of the Young People's Society in my church. But I knew that I really didn't know Christ. I already knew that. And when they asked people to come and make it certain, I went, and I'm so glad that I did that night. You can make sure tonight.
It was a very pointed invitation, and you that are listening today have that same choice to make. You've heard, you've had it explained, you don't have an excuse to give, so right now you can bow your head and pray the sinner's prayer that Mr. Graham asked the people to pray. I'd like to lead you in it right now, right where you are. Just say, oh God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross and paid the penalty of my sin. And I thank you that you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling now, dear Lord. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart and save me now for Jesus' sake, and help me to follow you in the fellowship of the church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. Did you just pray with Cliff? Do you still have some questions? Maybe you are already a Christian, but you need some encouragement. Whatever the case, we have resources you might find helpful. Just go to the top of this page and click on Grow Your Faith. If you'd rather talk with someone, give us a call. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online.
The greatest need that you have right now as an individual is peace with God.
Join us for Peace with God as Billy Graham and Franklin Graham offer you a message of hope. Listen online or find a radio station near you that airs the program. Just go to the top of this page, click on TV and radio, and then on Peace with God.
We're going to see what the Bible has to say about the problems that we face in our world.
God loves you, and He's good.
Peace with God, what you need today. Click on TV and radio.
You just heard Billy Graham teach that you can live forever with God in heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. It's a gift that Billy Graham's daughter Ann Graham Lott says many Christians almost seem to take for granted.
How many Christians do you know who are in love with Jesus? How many people do you know who put Him first in their lives even though it demands a sacrifice? Even though it demands their own time, money, and desires, there seem to be few Christians who want what God wants more than what they want. Very few who are willing to risk their job, reputation, friendships, even their life to share the gospel. Many churchgoers quote scripture, pray out loud, talk about men like Abraham, Moses, David, know all about Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. So why is it so many don't read their Bibles every day, or pray, or share the gospel with the unsaved? Listen to me. Something's wrong. God's people need to wake up to God. Jesus commanded in Revelation 3:2, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. So stop sleeping, wake up. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Cliff, that's an important challenge for man, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and it's a challenge in every stage of your life, Bob. I look back on my life. I'm now in my 92nd year, and I remember when I first gave my heart to Christ as a 10-year-old boy. But every stage of my life, there was a time when I was faced with what it takes to to give my heart anew to Christ. And I remember the time when I said yes in a very special way. And I said, Lord, here's my life. I give it to you now. And I've never regretted it. So there is a price for us all to pay. And we thank God for the privilege of serving him and letting our light shine for Jesus Christ.
So very true, Cliff. Thank you. Would you consider coming alongside the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association as we work to take the message of Christ to people all around the world? You can through your prayers and your financial support. Just click on Give at the top of this page, or call us if you'd rather. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Thank you for being with us for this edition of Hour of Decision Online. We'll be back with a new edition of the program on Sunday. In the meantime, Cliff, we're always just a click away here at hourofdecisiononline.org.
Yes, and we want to hear from you, and we want you to know that this program is sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always very good news.